What's the thinking at the court these days about releasing audio and why they don't want sound in the room at the time, why we can't listen as we might to a congressional hearing or debate on the floor or to a White House press briefing?
There are a lot of different views. Some justices, I think, would like to have contemporaneous audio or even TV, but these are nine people who live together for their entire lives, and as long as one person disagrees, that's not going to happen. And I very much doubt that television will happen in my lifetime. So there are a lot of different concerns. They worry about things being taken out of context. After all, justices ask questions that may be very adversarial, very prickly, even nasty, that may not even reflect their point of view, but they're pressing a point to see what the counsel is going to say. And so they're worried that that is taken out of context. It makes the court look foolish. It makes them look foolish. It doesn't really reflect what goes on. I'd say that's one of the major concerns. And then I think they just think it's intrusive on what they do. And what they do is, in their view, reason, think. And it's never, they've always done it. Until 2000 and Bush versus Gore, there never had been any same-day audio. In fact, for most of the time that I covered the court, in the beginning, first 10 or 15 years, maybe 20 even, the audio was not available to anybody at all. It was only available to scholars. Then eventually, they made it available at the end of every term. That meant, in many cases, for a year after the argument, you couldn't hear the audio. So for all practical purposes, it was only for historical purposes. Bush versus Gore changed that because the balance of the election hung in the balance. And so there was enormous pressure to at least hear what was going on. And Chief Justice Rehnquist, pretty much on his own, made the decision to do this and to delay it until after the argument was over on the day of the argument. And I think the court is seeking to preserve that idea of delay as it has continued to do it. Now, Chief Justice Roberts did not like picking and choosing which cases would be available for same-day audio. He thought it was sort of autocratic and that there really wasn't a good standard. And he devised a system a couple of years ago. Every Friday, the court would post on its website the audio of that week's arguments. That meant that anybody who wanted to hear the arguments could hear the arguments, but they really weren't very useful for same-day soundbite uses. And at the same time, there was a level of transparency. And I'm sure that he would have preferred to do that here. The pressure just got too much. So what he did was preserve the Rehnquist way of doing it, which is to delay it until after the argument.
And the court would make the case that by releasing it on Fridays, they are being pretty open, wouldn't they, at least from their point of view?
From their point of view, they are making the audio available in a relatively contemporaneous manner. And it works in most cases. But when you get some sort of huge, humongous controversy and the political branches are beating the drums for transparency and threatening the court with legislation, which would be of questionable constitutionality because, among other things, the Supreme Court doesn't tell the other two branches what their rules are, doesn't tell the Congress. It's never taken a filibuster case, for example, and they've come up to the court. It doesn't tell the Senate and the House what their rules are, and there's a very good argument that under separation of powers, the Senate and the House have no business telling the Supreme Court what its rules are either. But it would not like to have that happen. You know, if you can avoid a crisis, why have one? So the easy thing to do when everybody's beating the drums for this, to make this available on a same-day basis, is to say, okay, you get it.
And when you say everybody beating the drums, you're saying basically, in many cases, us, the media, the news media.
And editorial pages and members of Congress. And it's easier in this case, I think, to just say yes.
Has there ever been a discussion of delayed video?
I think not. You know, Justice Souter, now retired, said at one point that there would be TV cameras in the Supreme Court over his dead body. Now, interestingly, there had been TV cameras in the Supreme Court of New Hampshire where he was. I don't actually know what his objection was, but he really didn't, he thought it was not good for the institution. And of course, the Supreme Court looks at the other institutions to see how they've handled television coverage. And what they see is, in the Senate and the House, that it has, television coverage has resulted in mainly in posturing on the Senate and House floor, when in the past there used to be actual debates and people actually did get persuaded. Sometimes in my youth, I would see senators come in and sit down and listen to one of their colleagues, somebody that they respected, talk about something that they were curious about to know what that senator, why that senator was going to make this big speech. That doesn't really happen anymore. And they don't think it's done great for the other institutions of government. They see the sort of 24-hour cable sensationalism, and they don't want to be part of it. They are not elected. Their job is not to respond to popular opinion. This is their view. Their job is to analyze. Now, of course, the contrary argument is that they're the least accountable branch of government, so there should be transparency, to which they probably would respond, look, you can hear the arguments normally at the end of the week. When we're done making our decision, we do what other branches don't do. We give a very detailed opinion about why we have concluded what we've concluded, and the people who don't agree say why they don't agree. And what we say is right there in black and white on paper. And Mark, there's one other thing, which is security. They are in an ivory tower, but they lead pretty normal lives. We've all seen them in the grocery store, the drugstore, driving a car. And if they were on television, they would be much more recognizable and probably would need much more security, which would mean they were much more in a bubble.